Praise the Lord. It's good to be here in God's presence again today. And we're going to take a reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. And we're on week 16, study 16, the book of Revelation's visions from God. We've moved out of the seven churches. God's been speaking to the seven churches, and now we're on chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, the door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Well, praise God. You know, I will be talking about this very soon, about certain things in the spiritual world, because we are normal, natural people. I know we're born again. I'm speaking to born again people today, but we are living in a natural world. But we also have spiritual experiences, especially the born again spirit experience, that we're born of God, we're made new in Christ. But very often, you know, because we're living in a natural world, we see everything that way. But I want to tell you today, when you start to read the book of Revelation, other parts of the Bible, there are some what we would class as strange things. But when you get to know God more and more, it's not that strange. And when I'll be talking about the creatures that appear in this chapter as well. Now, if you saw those creatures appear to you in one of your meetings, if you're having a meeting in the presence of God, I think you would find that very strange. But it's not strange in heaven. And we really do have to come into a relationship with God where we find that everything in the Bible is normal to a normal Christian. So the scene of John's vision changes from earth to heaven. He'd been speaking to the seven churches, and now he's entering into heaven. The door standing open in heaven is the door of prophetic revelation. The first voice that he heard was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in his risen power and glory, in his exalted state. Almighty God, Jesus Christ, a message for you Jehovah's Witnesses that try to disprove the deity of Christ, and you say he was a God. You put that A in your New World Translation, which isn't there in the original language, an A and a small g, which wasn't there in the original language. You try to diminish Christ by removing his deity, making him out to be a mere man. You're wrong, and you'll be judged for it. And if you're listening to this word today, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you need to repent of your sin and get right with God, because you will give an account of every idle word that you've spoken, all your false heretical teachings that you've followed on the day of judgment, when you stand before God, before the great white throne. And even now, even in this life, as according to Hebrews 9:27, and as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. If you die tomorrow, this is before the great white throne judgment. You are already under judgment now. You're condemned to hell, and you'll depart and you'll end up in hell. I know you deny that doctrine away as well, because that's related to the deity of Christ. You deny every doctrine that's related to the deity of Christ, even the Trinity, because you're false prophets. And God will judge you for it. And when you die and you part from this world and wake up in hell, you realize the very words that I've said today have judged you. But you need not go to hell, because you need to do what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Lord, and you will be saved. Ask him into your life, repent of your sin, and become a child of God, a born-again child of God. Not a child of religion, not a child of heresy, not a child of false doctrine, but a child of God. A born-again child of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We're brand new creatures in Christ. We have a new nature. We have his righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. And it's all because what he did on the cross for us as our substitute sin bearer. Thank God he died for our sin. He was our sin bearer. He bore our sin. He suffered from blood and died for our sin. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again for our justification. Then he ascended to heaven in his exaltation. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and the sin of this world. And we have eternal life in our hearts because we have the Spirit of Christ in our heart, who's the Spirit of everlasting, eternal life and bliss. So come to Jesus today if you don't know him. You don't have to be a Jehovah's Witness, but if you don't know Jesus Christ today, this applies to you as well. Everyone outside of Christ will depart from this world without Christ and end up in hell. You need to be saved. This is a message of deliverance. This is a message of warning to help you. I'm throwing out the lifeline. You're in a stormy sea. You're in the water. You're going to drown. I'm throwing you out that life belt. Grab hold of it. His name is Jesus Christ. I'll pull you in. Come into the kingdom of God. And his name, there's only one way to come in. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord had revealed to John what is. And that was the condition of the seven churches. Now there is an unveiling of what must take place after this. The spiritual vision was so powerful that he was raptured in the spirit to heaven. It was called a pre-rapture rapture. We all know that one day the Lord's coming back, he's going to rapture his church. But he was raptured into glory. Certain people in the Bible had this experience. They're raptured into glory. We read about Elijah. We read about people having very powerful prophetic raptures into the presence of God when the Spirit of God came in power. That can happen to individuals. It can still happen today. Raptured into glory. So the prophets in the Old Testament at times experience powerful spiritual experiences. Read the first few chapters of Ezekiel. Read Isaiah. I saw the Lord. And he was taken up to the throne of God like John was here. The heavens were opened, it says in the book of Ezekiel, and I saw visions of God. Read the first few chapters of Ezekiel, find those strange creatures again. The cherubims and so on. Have I got that right? It's a cherubim, not the seraphim. But there they are again. And we find these creatures, they are there to guard the glory of God. And awesome creatures. One had the face of an eagle, one of a man, one of a calf and so on, and one of a lion, which symbolise and represent certain things, but I haven't got time to get into that today. So he was caught up to the throne of God, caught up to the throne of Jehovah. Now look, you Jehovah's Witnesses, Jehovah God is not your God. Because I want to tell you today, you deny Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, and his name is Jehovah as well. We believe in the Trinity. And you deny Jesus Christ, you're denying Jehovah God. Jehovah, you call yourself Jehovah's Witnesses. But I want to tell you, the true Jehovah's Witnesses of God are born again Christians. And so he was raptured into the presence of Jehovah or Yahweh. Into the presence of El Shaddai. Praise the Lord. And then in human language tries to describe him in colour. And so he uses various stones to describe it. It was almost beyond human language to describe what he saw. Now he was taken up to the third heaven. And this is the heaven of God, the presence of God, that Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 4. 2 Corinthians, let's just turn to that. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 4, but let me just start at verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, he was speaking about himself, of course, I do not know, whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. This is the same third heaven that John was caught up to here. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And there was, remember in the book of Revelation, we'll come across it where the seven thunders thundered and he was about to write and he couldn't write those things. And here Paul says he heard words that he was not allowed to utter. And so we find that Elijah, when he was raptured and caught up by the chariot of fire and the horse, the chariots of fire of the Lord, he was caught up to the third heaven. And so these experiences are repeated throughout the Bible. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have all those saints who are born again, who have departed from this life, now in the very presence of God that John was taken up to in that vision, that awesome vision that day when he was raptured before the throne of God. And so the first object that John saw, John saw God in glory and brilliance. As in Ezekiel 11, 26. Let's just look at Ezekiel. You can find it. 11. Let me just read it to you. Ezekiel 11. Oh, I've got the wrong one. What a shame. Let me just try and have a look at that, see if I got that scripture right. Oh, it's Ezekiel 1, sorry. I was getting the L mixed up with another one. Ezekiel 1, 26 to 28. Listen to the experience of Ezekiel. I mean, he had awesome revelations, this prophet of God. And you want to read these chapters. Don't shun away from a lot of Christians. If they can't understand something, shun away from it rather than let God reveal something very precious to them and enter into the presence of God, into his word, and let the Holy Spirit bring you revelation and show you this is reality. These beings actually exist today. Yes, we can't see them now, but one day we will. So we might as well get used to them by reading the Bible. Read Ezekiel, the first few chapters, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. But in verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 1, and above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness. He's talking about these creatures that I'm speaking about. And it actually mentions what they are. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. And on the likeness of the throne was the likeness, a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the colour of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The same glory that John saw is now seen here by Ezekiel when he was taken up into visions of God there back in the Old Testament. Amazing. And so when John was raptured up into heaven by the Spirit of the Lord in this powerful vision, the first object that John saw was a throne, which speaks of God's authority over the universe. We always have to see when we read the book of Revelation and we read the whole Bible, a matter of fact, for our whole life, God is on the throne. He is in control. You might say things are out of control in this world. No, only what God allows. It might be out of control to the natural man, but it's certainly under the control of God as he meticulously fulfills his plan for the nations until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth in power and great glory. And so God is in control. And so that's what we need to see. Stop looking at the dirt on the ground. Stop, get out of the mud and the mire. Stop looking on the ground all the time. Stop looking at the sin in this world in people. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Come to him every day in prayer, read the word and pray, and you'll be taken up into heavenly places of him. And your day will be different. And you'll find that when you're walking around, you won't be dragged down by the sin of this world. I don't know about you, but you know, when you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to be too long in a supermarket to be dragged down by the sin in all the people around you. It weighs you down. And you might have gone in feeling good and you can come out so heavy because of sin. Sin has that heavy effect on you. This is why we need to spend much time in prayer and reading the word to build ourselves up so we can walk through this world above it all as overcomers, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Don't neglect the word of God. Don't neglect prayer. It's important for the Christian to live in victory and to be a soldier for Jesus Christ and to walk through any circumstances lie in life and be victorious. Get through it. Jesus will get you there. I remember one day I was going, I think it was the Lake District, I was in a car, and I knew this person was a Christian because a friend of mine knew him. And he came past on this really powerful super motorbike. It was called a super bike. Really powerful. He had his leathers on. And on the back of his leathers he had "Jesus gets me there." And I thought, gosh, he's got faith. I wouldn't like to have a crash and have that on my back. But, you know, it's true. Jesus does get you there. And one thing for certain, we might meet all kinds of problems in this life, but Jesus will certainly get us to the celestial city. He will get us to heaven. He won't fail us. Keep your trust in Jesus, but you must abide in him daily. You must read the word and pray every day to be strong. Now, he saw, let me just read verse 3, because this is a significant verse as we look into this book of Revelation. And he who sat there on the throne was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. Now, the first one, jasper, is probably a diamond, because we can see in Revelation chapter 21, verse 11. Revelation chapter 21, verse 11. Having the glory of God, speaking about the New Jerusalem, and having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. Praise the Lord. And so that's probably what that was, a diamond. And what does that speak of when he said he saw that jasper, the appearance of jasper? It speaks of purity. It speaks of holiness, because God is perfectly pure. The Bible says that with God there is no shadow of turning. Now you read the book of Ezekiel, the first two chapters, and you'll find that they go in one direction, another direction. I can be sure, it doesn't mention it, I don't think, but you can be sure there was no shadow of turning when those creatures moved, when God moved with them. They moved with God. There would be no shadow of turning. And there's no shadow of turning with God, because he's absolutely pure. And he's holy as well. So it speaks, this diamond, this jasper, of purity and holiness. The purity and holiness of God. And then it says here in verse 3, first of all, let me read it again. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. So he's speaking about the appearance of God. This is the only way he could describe him. Sardius is carnelian. It's deep red. And it speaks of God's avenging wrath. So even though God is a God of righteousness, he's a God of judgment. Because he wouldn't be a God of righteousness if he wasn't a God of judgment. We have to get the balance. I haven't got time to get into this today. There's a lot I could actually say on this. Just listen, go to my website, and you'll see all the messages on it explaining why he's also a God of judgment and wrath. So sardius is carnelian, deep red, speaks of God's avenging wrath. And then it says in that verse, I want to read the whole verse again. And he sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Emerald is green. And green, emerald green, is the dominant colour in a rainbow. And this is a symbol of God's mercy. And we need to remember that in judgment, God remembers mercy. God's judgment is upon the land. God's judgment is upon this world because of sin, because man, sin has reached to heaven. And God said that in the end, he would pour out his judgments. The judgments are here now, eventually his wrath. But you know, God, even still, this is an amazing thing, even when God will pour out his wrath on the earth, the sun will still shine. He will still send us rain. He'll still provide food for the sinners he's pouring his wrath out on. In judgment, God remembers mercy. If you want to flee from the wrath to come, then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And when the rapture comes, you'll be raptured before the wrath of God comes, because God has not delivered us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 and 15. I want to finish with this. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 to 15. Okay, well, we'll just start at verse 11, because the flood had been. God said, if you don't, you know, mankind, the sin of mankind has reached to heaven, and they're so wicked and evil, they won't repent, so I'm going to send a flood and drown them all. And he did. God keeps his word. He said there's a horrible judgment coming to this earth with fire. And it will come, because God doesn't break his word. He's promised that he is going to pour out his judgments and wrath on this earth. And he's going to send fire. He's going to send such an earthquake. He's going to make the whole world reeling to and fro like a hut in the wind or like a drunken man. He's going to break up the earth. He says that the earth is broken up and reeling to and fro. This day will come, you can be raptured out of it before the wrath of God comes, if you repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ into your life. And in verse 11, you know, the flood's over. And Noah has been kept safe because he believed in God. Noah warned people and he said, come into the ark. They wouldn't listen, so they all drowned. But Noah and his family were saved. Praise the Lord for that. And then God hadn't left Noah. He protected him in those floodwaters. He even showed him how to make the ark, the dimensions and everything else that would keep him safe as it floated upon those torrential, in the midst of torrential rain and terrible flooding that flooded the earth. And God preserved him. And after that, God appeared to Noah and spoke to him. And he spoke about a covenant. He made a covenant with Noah. Thank God for his covenants. You know, when God makes that covenant, he doesn't break it. He's made a new covenant out to all born again believers, and you can believe every promise in it because he won't break that covenant. There are conditions, and we have to meet the condition. You meet the conditions like Noah did, and that covenant is sure for you today. You can take hold of that word, I'm the Lord that healeth you, and believe that God will heal you. But if you're a habitual sinner and then you want healing, don't expect healing. You must repent of your sin and cut out that habitual sin. Verse 11, thus I will establish my covenant of Genesis chapter 9. Thus I will establish my covenant with you. Speaking to Noah, God speaking to Noah. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now we know floods are coming as part of God's judgment, but he's saying a major flood that will, you know, flood the whole world, that won't happen again. Although this country has been underwater, and that was a judgment from God, but it hasn't been a worldwide flood, because God promised that wouldn't happen. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. And so that rainbow there symbolizing God's mercy on mankind. But let's not abuse the grace of God. Let's not spurn his mercy by rejecting his offer. Today, you see, in those days it was the ark, come into the ark and be saved. God's ark today is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is neither salvation in any other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. We must come to Jesus. Jesus is God's ark. Now repent of your sin, come to Jesus Christ, ask him into your life. If you don't, then the mercy of God is not for you. And when his judgment comes, then you will come under that judgment and you will not know the mercy of God. God is offering, stretching forth his hand of mercy to you right now. Receive his mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Remember that every time that rainbow comes out in the sky, remember that emerald green, that is a reminder, that dominant colour in the rainbow is a symbol of God's mercy. Remember this message each time that rainbow comes out. But better than that, you don't know how long you're going to live. You could die tonight in your bed. You could be hit by a car tomorrow. Anything could happen. And if you die without receiving Jesus Christ into your life, then there'll be no more mercy. There's no mercy in hell. It's over. The judgment has been passed. You've been sentenced like a criminal to death. That's total separation from God. An everlasting conscious punishment for all those who reject Christ. Receive his mercy today. I want to finish with that wonderful colour of green. Thank you for listening.